Our opening words are from Laura Horton Ludwig. The wheel of the year has turned again. Once more, the Thanksgiving season has arrived. How shall we sing our song of gratitude now? For what shall we give thanks? For this moment, for friends near and far, for our breath, for love, for courage and clarity, for strength, for delight, for laughter, for beauty, for the tables round which we gather, for the food we enjoy with friends seasoned with love and memory, for the sun and moon and stars in the sky, for the trees who have seen so much and still stand proud, stretching themselves to the sky, for the bright voices of children, for the wisdom of elders, for actions that bless this world, for hard work that makes a difference, for music and art and celebration, for generosity, for compassion, for endurance, for joy, for hope. For all these things we give thanks as we worship together. And now, as our chalice is lit, I share these words by Katie Gelfrand. We light our chalice as a symbol of gratitude as we celebrate the abundance of our lives together. In this sanctuary, we harvest bushels of strength for one another and offer our crop with the hands of compassion and generosity. In the authentic and gentle manner of our connections, we cultivate a simple sweetness to brighten our spirits. May we be grateful for the ways we nourish and uplift each other, for it is the sharing of this hallowed time together that sustains us. Thank you.
Good morning. So the theme of this service is the welcome table. Have you ever been at a table where you didn't feel welcome? No, that's good. Oh, I see a couple hands. I think I can remember one time I was at a place called Star Island in the summer, and I knew maybe four people, but I didn't know them well. And I got my dinner the very first night, and I walked around, and I couldn't find a place to sit. I felt so unwelcome, and that really kind of colored the whole memory I have of that place as me not feeling welcome. So Cindy and I were talking about how important being welcoming is to people, but especially when it comes to food. And I can think of another time where we did something wrong here. Many years ago, we didn't have a policy where we were peanut and nut free. So one time I looked around and was running a junior youth group and we were having pizza and someone very nicely brought in a cake that was left over from a church function. And I went into the vestry kitchen and I found a youth crying. And you know why they were crying? Because they didn't feel welcome. They had allergies. They had really severe allergies to eggs and milk and nuts and so many things. And this person who was waiting for their mother to come with their pizza, which she had generously offered to bring, and she was late. She was never late, but in that time she was late. So here's this kid standing, watching everyone eating pizza. He can't eat pizza. Then someone comes in with this delicious looking cake. He can't eat cake. From that day on, I thought, oh, not anymore. Never again are we going to not be a welcoming table here at FPC. And then we had some youth that really fought for that. They said that it's not fair that we don't have peanut and nut free. So they fought for that. So I want to bring that over to Thanksgiving. Can you imagine, if you had nowhere to go for Thanksgiving? Sometimes people are fine with that. Sometimes people like the quiet. They like being home alone. Other times people really wish they had a place to go. And that happened to me a couple years ago. I have a very dear friend whose name is Carol. And she has two sons that are retarded, which means that they probably, even though they're in their 40s, they act like they're 4 or 5 years old. And they are wonderful, wonderful, wonderful guys. They just love the world and they love life. And their dad died. And when they were like 45, their dad died, and he was very old, and it wasn't unexpected, though it was sad, and they had nowhere to go for Thanksgiving. So I called my friend Carol up, and I said, please come join us, and she said, no, I can't do that, that's a family time. And I said, you know, sometimes friends are like family, sometimes friends are even more family to me than my own family. So Carol and Lincoln and Forrest started coming, this was about 4 years ago, And now they are part of our welcome table. And then we found out there were other friends that had nowhere to go because of a very long story, a very sad story about... I'm not going to get into that, but they had nowhere to go. So we invited them. Now our Thanksgiving is some of our family and some of our friends, and someone just recently called that family, friends and family coming together. So that's how we created a welcome table. And Cindy's going to share some thoughts on her welcoming table.
Can I use this one? Yeah. So welcoming the stranger is an ancient religious imperative. Imperative means something we must do. For example, Abraham and his wife Sarah are important figures in Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. And in the book of Genesis, in chapter 18, three visitors appear at Abraham and Sarah's tent. And Abraham and Sarah offer them hospitality. They hustle to provide a meal. Sarah bakes bread, and they kill one of their animals for meat. And it turns out, guess who these visitors were?
Vegetarians.
Probably, because they also were angels, right? Angels, or even God himself, depending on how you read the text. And then because of the hospitality they offered, God offers Sarah a blessing that she will have a child. So it's really important in the Bible and in other world, in other religions, to offer hospitality, to welcome in a stranger. I should say, however, that when we get to Groundhog's Day, there's some wisdom in not accepting hospitality if it comes in the form of pomegranate seeds. But that's another story, especially if it's offered by the, you know, god of the underworld. Don't take that hospitality. That's another story. At this time of year, hospitality is a good thing. So our story of the first Thanksgiving in this country is also a story of hospitality, a story of starving pilgrims who were helped by Native Americans, and then when the harvest came in, they broke bread together and had a feast. It's a beautiful story, although there are ways in which it glosses over some harder truths that we sometimes don't like to talk about the treatment of Native Americans that would follow in this country. But when we tell the story as part of this ancient tradition of believing in hospitality, it's about welcoming the stranger. So how many of you have welcomed a stranger sometime to your Thanksgiving dinners? A whole bunch, yeah. In my family, we've done it sometimes, too. We've welcomed different people, like foreign exchange students, friends from college who didn't have someplace to go, friends of the family. And then last year, we had someone who none of us in our family knew welcomed to our Thanksgiving dinner. I got an email from a friend of mine who said, there's a teacher who's just teaching here in America at our high school for 1 year from China, teaching Chinese to our students, and she has nowhere to go for Thanksgiving. And would like to experience a traditional American Thanksgiving. Do you or someone in your congregation do one and would be willing to invite her? And I said, well, I'm hosting Thanksgiving for my family this year. She can come. So she came and joined us for Thanksgiving, and my family is really talkative, and we're fast talkers, as you know. We all talk really fast. That's why I talk fast, is because I had to get a word in edgewise. Although they also say that my sister didn't talk till she was 5 because I talked so much. That's not really true. But anyway, so we had her over, and we ate our turkey and our stuffing and our cranberry sauce and rolls and corn and beans and gravy and salad, mashed potatoes, a couple of casseroles. It's really an embarrassment of food. And she did not make it all the way to the pie because we hadn't told her to pace herself enough. Like, it's impossible. And our family usually takes a couple of hours just sitting around after we finish the rest of the meal before we go back and have pie. And so we watch some football, we do some dishes, we, you know, play a board game or two, and then we have pie. So she couldn't make it all the way to pie time, so we had to pack up the pie and send it home with her. Over the years, we've had a lot of different people at Thanksgiving, extended family, exchange students, college friends, and each time we open our door a little wider, our lives are enriched by the experience. Thanksgiving may be a time for family, but it's also a time for hospitality, for meeting someone new, and you never know just when those strangers might turn out to be vegetarians or angels. So now we want to talk a little bit about the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee's Guest at Your Table program. The UUSC is our national social justice human rights organization for Unitarian Universalists, and they have a program, called Guest at Your Table. And the idea is that you place a box on your table and place coins into it at every meal because you're feeding a guest at your table when you do that. This year's theme is Justice Across Borders, and the UUSC writes, from the Northern Triangle of Central America to the deserts of Mexico and Arizona to detention centers in the United States, the road away from danger is paved with injustices. Partnering with grassroots allies across the Central American Migration Trail, the UUSC addresses root causes, supports migrants in transit, and protects the right to seek asylum. Here's an example written by Carly Cronin. She writes, today I want to share a story about a young woman named Valentina who is from El Salvador. El Salvador is a small country, smaller than most of the United States, smaller than almost all of the states in the United States, and it's located south of here and of Mexico. About a year, Valentina began to feel unsafe in her neighborhood even when she was at home. People were being mean and saying frightening things to her. And Valentina grew so scared that she wanted to leave her home, leave her country, to be far away from the people that she was afraid of. And as you know, different countries in the world have different rules about who can come to the country and for how long. Like if you go on vacation in a different country, there are some rules that are true no matter where you go. One of these rules are, if you are afraid and in danger, you are allowed to leave where you are and go to another country for safety. We call that asylum. Valentina knew this, and she decided to come here to the United States to be safe. She wanted to go to California. But as it turns out, her trip wasn't going to be easy. From El Salvador to California, it's about 3,000 miles. Imagine driving from one end of the United States to another, like from San Francisco to New York City or to here. And that's how far Valentina had to go. On top of this, she didn't have any money, much money at all, or any relatives or friends to stay with along the way. Thankfully, she met a lot of people who helped her. They gave her food and water and places to sleep. They let her shower, gave her clean clothes. And she, since she speaks Spanish and not English, they helped with the transition once she arrived in California. They gave her advice and guidance throughout her journey. And a lot of the new people who helped Valentina get to California were Unitarian Universalists. They understood that what she was going through was difficult and lonely, so many of them across the country went to their families and their friends to raise money, find help, and support the people who were providing her with the food and water and the things she needed. Just like we did when we helped support Valentina, we can work together to make a difference, even when someone is out of the country or far away. Because people who are afraid deserve to feel protected and feel safe, no matter where they are. And this is how Unitarian Universalists helped Valentina come to California. And now that she's made it here, she's helping other people find a home here, too. Thank you for listening. Michelle and I have been talking a lot about traditions lately, particularly as I'm coming to learn what the traditions are at this church, like the traditions we're following today with having our junior youth bake bread for the service and distribute it at the service. And Thanksgiving is a time when for many families, there's a lot of things about tradition to follow. So we thought we'd talk a little bit about our family's traditions. My family sometimes does, as we did last year, what I think of as a very traditional Thanksgiving dinner. We get together with extended family, and we have turkey and stuffing and cranberry sauce and pumpkin pie. But there are also a lot of years when we've done something just completely different and new. And that's almost like a tradition for us to do something non-traditional. One year, we went and had Thanksgiving dinner at the hospital. We weren't visiting anyone there. We just knew that they had a cafeteria that was always open and that they would be serving some sort of Thanksgiving-type food, probably. So we just went there for Thanksgiving. It is the most economical Thanksgiving dinner you'll ever have. My family also has had some kind of odd Thanksgivings. One year, my Uncle Jim and his family helped their friends move the outhouse. They had a couple of exchange students that year, too, and they told them that that was a traditional Thanksgiving activity. Every Thanksgiving, you go out and you move your friend's outhouse. Do you know what an outhouse is, kids? Yeah? It's like basically a porta potty, yes. And sometimes they need to get moved. So one year, back before Katie was born, Peter and I visited that same uncle and his family for Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving dinner was very traditional and just what you might expect. But then afterwards, instead of sitting around and watching the football game or playing games, the family suggested that we go out and shoot the potato gun. What? I said. I was puzzled, a little bit scared maybe, and they explained that this potato gun is a projectile weapon fashioned out of a PVC pipe, and you shove potatoes down the barrel. The potatoes have to be a little bit rotten so that they stop up the barrel properly and also will slide out properly. And then you spray hairspray into the ignition, and then you light it, and the exploding hairspray propels the potato out of the gun. Our goal was to hit, literally, the broadside of the neighbor's barn. They don't like that particular neighbor very much. And they have a big open field next to that barn. So it makes a perfect target. And we went out and shot rotten potatoes at the neighbor's barn for Thanksgiving. And I have to say, that was perhaps the most fun I've ever had on Thanksgiving. So while Thanksgiving can be all about tradition, and traditions are important and valuable, it's also sometimes fun to try something a little new sometimes. So this service is a bit traditional, and it's a little bit like firing potatoes at the broadside of a barn. Not quite as explosive, perhaps, but hopefully surprising and a little bit of fun.
I don't think I can top Cindy's story. But I'm going to share something. So one of the other things is we each have our own traditions. Like, we grow up with traditions, and like, that's the way Thanksgiving's always supposed to be. So for me, I grew up in a French-Canadian family, and my mom always made stuffing with mashed potatoes, hamburg, and poultry seasoning. And you mix them all together. And to me, it's one of the most delicious things in the world. So I met my partner, Lynette. And eventually she came to my family's house for Thanksgiving, and I said, oh, I love my mom's stuffing. I can't wait for you to try it. So she put some on her plate thinking, oh, well, it's a different kind of stuffing, and she tried it, and she hated it. She hated it with every fiber of her being, and she said, this is not stuffing. And I thought, well, what is stuffing then if this isn't stuffing? Well, come to find out, most people have stuffing that's a bread stuffing or a corn stuffing. So to this day, we still have this joke going about this stuffing for me, which is the best stuffing in the world, the French-Canadian one, and for her, it's bread stuffing. For our own family, Thanksgiving now, we definitely do the bread stuffing and not the French-Canadian stuffing. And another tradition that Lynette brought to our family, and I meant to bring these to show you. So you have to have green beans. You have to have cream of mushroom soup, and you have to have fried onion rings. Does anyone know what those three things together make? Green bean. I had never heard of green bean casserole. And then I went to Lynette's family's Thanksgiving, and it is a highlight at their Thanksgiving. And it's green beans sopping up soup with soggy onion rings on mixed in with crunchy onion rings on top. Now I can see, like, Ben is like, yes, green bean casserole. Now I've grown to enjoy it. I don't love it. But still to this day, I think, like, what an odd dish to have green bean casserole as, like, one of the highlights. But I bet we all have stories like that or things that we love most about our Thanksgiving. So right now we're going to spend a few minutes, find someone, hopefully that you don't know very well or that you haven't spoken to in a while. So get up and move around and share for a couple minutes a tradition, either something that was new to you that you had to get used to or some kind of food that you like best about Thanksgiving. So please get up and mingle and talk Thanksgiving.
So for centuries, the breaking of bread has been a symbol of welcome, of community, of friendship, and of building bridges. Sharing food together is part of many religious rituals because it binds people together as a faith, as a community, and shows welcome and hospitality. In giving people bread, you give them sustenance, you give them life. Sharing food with a stranger is a sign of welcome and hospitality and a gesture that transcends culture and crosses back through time. It's an ancient and holy act of connection. That's the reason that the word communion, which we use for the sharing of bread and wine in Christianity, comes from the same root as the word community.
The bread we share today was baked by the junior youth group, which is a tradition here at Thanksgiving. And I'm going to go off script for a minute. Can all the kids who helped and people, adults that helped make the bread, just stand up for a minute? Danielle did, right? Two? Yeah? All right. All right. All right, thank you. You can. By participating in this tradition with the youth and with all of us here breaking bread together, we connect with the past and the future in a shared hope for unity and peace and communion between all people.
Bread is different across different cultures, and we have a few types of bread here today representing the diversity of our cultural heritage here. We have a braided bread from the Jewish culture. We have cornbread representing the Native American culture. We have a white bread common to many European cultures. We have a gluten-free bread so that all can be part of our sharing of bread today.
Breads are different across many cultures, but they have some similarities as well. There's a grain like wheat or corn, a leavening agent like yeast except in unleavened breads, and water. We add salt or herbs or honey or sugar to give flavor. What we don't have in this bread is any tree nuts or peanuts.
Breaking bread together is a symbol of Thanksgiving. We share for the harvest, for grain, and for the water that is source of life. We give thanks to the community which we build together today by breaking bread together. We give thanks for the community to the future, to building in a better, more peaceful world that we will inherit.
At the same time, we acknowledge the work of creating a welcome table is not done. There are people still hungry. There's people still left out welcome of community. The people turned away by families for who they are or who they love or what they believe. Breaking bread is also a commitment to build the welcome table.
Say, we invite you now, as after the bread gets passed, to be nourished by it in body and spirit, and eat it in acknowledgement of our commitment to the welcome table. Our bread will now be passed. As we pass this bread, we will sing from You I Receive, to You I Give, and we will pause after singing of it for a brief reflection. If you need the gluten-free bread, like I said, please raise your hand, and Lucy will make sure you receive it.
Our words of benediction are by Charles Howe. May we go forth from this place thankful for the life that sustains and renews us, and open to the grace that surrounds and surprises us. May we go forth from this place with openness and thanksgiving. So here's something a little different that we have this year. We have here hundreds of transgender pride flags representing the transgender people who were killed, murdered this year. And this Tuesday, we will honor them in a special Vespers service. But today, we had planned to take these flags and put them back into our lawn as a symbol of our welcome. However, surprise, we have a lot of snow out there and a ground that's a little bit frozen. So instead, we're going to have an impromptu parade around our sanctuary. So I'm going to say some words of blessing. And this is a solemn service and a solemn reason that we have these flags in front of us. But it's a joyful thing that we do today because we are showing our radical welcome, our open arms for the transgender community. And so I invite you to celebrate as we do this. And what I'm going to do is we're going to just, anyone who wants to can be part of this parade, and we're going to just make a circle around the sanctuary as we go, just same way the children do.
So you're going to go this way and around. So if you're on that side, you're going to go around to the back and come this
Yep, and when you get up here, you grab a flag or two and wave them as you go. And if you don't want to, you can sit or stand and watch the fun. And as we do this, we're going to sing, again, the welcome table song. So you're not going to have your hymnals in your hands unless you're one of the people sitting. And so the words are, we're going to sit at the welcome table. We're going to sit at the welcome table one of these days. Hallelujah. We're going to sit at the welcome table. Going to sit at the welcome table one of these days. And then the second verse is, no fancy style, all kinds of people around that table, all kinds of people around that table, one of these days, hallelujah, etc. And the third verse is, no fancy style, all kinds of people, we're going to sit, all kinds of people, no fancy style. All right, here's our blessing. This is adapted from the Transforming Hearts Collective. Spirit of life and love that resides within and among us, we enter this moment with all that we are, with an open heart and with a love for justice. We hold in love and prayer all transgender people, so many of whom live under the weight of violence, fear, and intolerance. We hold in love and prayer all the ways that transgender people have survived and thrived in a hostile world. We hold in love and prayer all those who recognize the significance of gender justice for all people. We pray for teachers, for spiritual leaders, for social workers, lawyers, and all people who heed the call to support trans liberation, trans leadership, and trans visibility. On this day, we bless these flags, and we commit and recommit to creating a world where people of all genders know peace, love, and justice. We commit and recommit to the healing work of relationship building that will help every person know, no matter how their gender or sexuality, that they are loved and valued. And now we're going to sing our sung benediction and then go straight from that back into the welcome table, okay?
Peace be with you till we meet again. As life lays its task before you, keep love's banner floating for you. Peace be with you till we meet again. We're gonna sit at the welcome table. We're gonna sit at the welcome table one of these days. Hallelujah. We're gonna sit at the welcome table.